Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters. This is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Dr. Susan Wood, who's a former FDA Assistant Commissioner for Women's Health. She's Professor of Health Policy and of Environmental and Occupational Health and the Executive Director of the Jacobs Institute for Women's Health at George Washington University School of Public Health and Health Services. Welcome to Background Briefing, Dr. Susan Wood.
I'm delighted to be here. It's a great day.
Well, I take it you're happy that the Affordable Care Act was upheld.
Absolutely, it's a wonderful ruling. It's obviously very complex and has a lot of legal issues raised. But the fact that the overall law was found constitutional and we can move forward in implementing it around the country is not just sort of a Washington thing, but actually something that's going to benefit people around the nation. So it's very good news.
But do you think the people around the nation will recognize the benefits? That's been one of the reasons why the Republicans have been able to demagogue this so-called Obamacare, mm-hmm. is because a lot of the benefits of it don't come in until 2014. And there's been something of a vacuum. I mean, hundreds of millions of dollars have been spent in advertising to trash Obamacare. Do you think there's a way to sell this?
Well, I think it's really, you know, you're right that there is not as much awareness of the benefits that are in effect today as well as the benefits that are going to come in 2014. And there has to be a lot of work, and there has been, but it's been overshadowed by the questions around the legality or the constitutionality of the law. And I think now that that's been put to rest, we can move forward, not just in implementing what's going to happen in 2014, but in communicating to individuals and families and businesses and business owners that this actually has benefits now. The fact that preventive services are being covered without a copayment, the fact that children can stay on their parents' plans until they're age 26. The fact that seniors are benefiting through Medicare, better coverage of prescription drugs. These are all things that are in place now, and people start to recognize that you don't have to pay a copay when you go in for that mammogram. But they don't necessarily connect it to the fact that that came about because of the Affordable Care Act. And I think we need to do a better job of talking about that and letting people make that connection. But I also think now that we've moved past this very high-level, high-powered, and high-stress decision, people can focus on what do we need to do to improve our health care and our access to health care and the quality of our health insurance, which those who have insurance now certainly want to see better plans and better coverage.
Again, I'm speaking with Dr. Susan Wood, the former FDA Assistant Commissioner for Women's Health. She's Professor of Health Policy and Environmental and Occupational Health and the Executive Director of the Jacobs Institute for Women's Health at George Washington University School of Public Health and Health Services. And I called you, Susan, because my understanding is that had this bill been repealed, the people who would have suffered most are women and children, and they are the least insured in this country. Of the, 40 to 50 million uninsured, they make up the majority. Is that right?
Well, in direct insurance, it's hard to say because women do have better access to Medicaid for example, pregnant women get covered under Medicaid at a higher income level. But their insurance is more vulnerable to being lost. They're more likely to be dependent on their spouse, their husband's insurance, and therefore if they were divorced, they could lose that access to that insurance. They're more likely to be part-time workers, which doesn't come with any or very good insurance coverages. So they are more vulnerable to losing their insurance or to having poor quality insurance. But the reason the benefits of this, the healthcare law is you know, it comes about in so many different ways. It comes about in the coverage of preventive services, and specifically the preventive services for women, which haven't really kicked in yet. Those come into effect in August. And those are not in effect yet, but and would have been lost had the law been overturned. The expansion of Medicaid, which did get to have some limits placed on it by the court's ruling, is a real opportunity for both men and women to get coverage, regardless of, you know, they fit into a particular category of being pregnant or being disabled or being a parent of a child, small child. These are things that they no longer will have to meet those criteria. If they are low income, they will have access to Medicaid coverage for all of their health needs. So there are many ways. The fact that women, if you're in the individual market, get charged more for your premium just for being a woman, and that's not including coverage for maternity or pregnancy care. That's just insurance without maternity care would be charged more just for being female. That is going to go away. That will no longer be legal. The fact that people with pre-existing conditions will have access to insurance at the same price as everyone else will benefit, again, men and women, but women often have a pre-existing condition, even one such as being victims of domestic violence or having had a hysterectomy, has kept them from getting insurance in the past, and that will change. So there's so many different ways that all of us are going to benefit, and women in particular are getting some very specific benefits out of this that they need to know about, but we're really grateful that the court is allowing it to move forward.
But Dr. Susan Wood, aren't the bulk of the uninsured, the 50 million Americans that are uninsured, 30 million of whom I think will be brought into mm-hmm. the insurance pool, aren't the bulk of them women and children?
Yes, yes.
I see. So that was the point I was making. And had it been repealed, you'd still have 50 million people uninsured. And then on top of that, if the Republicans get in and Mitt Romney enacts the Ryan budget as he has promised, the cuts in Medicaid there would add another 30 million to the 50 million. That's my understanding.
Absolutely. And the fact that, I mean, I think will be very interesting going forward to look and see how the Medicaid expansion rolls out. This is a program where, under the Affordable Care Act, the federal government will pay for an expansion of Medicaid in every state. And the question now, based on the court's ruling, is will every state take that funding to really expand coverage for low-income families? And hopefully they will. Hopefully, you know, to turn away 100% coverage seems foolhardy, and you're cutting off your nose to spite your face. But there may be some states who now choose not to do that Medicaid expansion, and that would have a real disproportionate effect on families, low-income families, and on women and children. And it's a really unfortunate a twist, but hopefully, you know, the people in each state will realize that expansion really benefits communities and families, and therefore will move forward in expanding that kind of coverage as well. So I think there's, if you go in the opposite direction, which you were suggesting, cuts in Medicare, cuts in Medicaid, that this would really devastate not just the safety net that we have now, but the fact that our seniors and families really need health insurance, and to start cutting away with what we have now just seems completely in the wrong direction, and hopefully that won't happen.
Well, the Supreme Court ruled against the idea that the government would punish states for opting out in terms of expansion of Medicare. But my understanding is that there are many other ways that the federal government can incentivize these states to get real.
And I'm sure, well, the fact there, the big, you know, the obvious incentive is that this is a 100% coverage by the federal government. It will not cost the states anything for the first few years, and then not very much, 10% of the total sort of forever. And so to get that kind of coverage for a state's population is a huge incentive for a state, I would hope. And again, I hope that clearer minds will prevail and in making those decisions and won't be just a political pushback. And other incentives, certainly the health professionals and hospitals and other institutions inside a state would really want to see that happening, that expansion happen, and so hopefully it will.
Well, just in closing, Dr. Susan Wood, do you think that this will solve the fiscal problem here, that we spend more than any other country in the developed world on health care with the least successful outcomes and the least percentage of our population covered? And one of the things that was the impetus behind it was the fact that health costs are just huge budget busters. They're the biggest driver of our deficit. Do you see any hope in that regard? They did go the insurance route. They didn't go the single payer route, which really would have saved some serious money, but seemed politically impossible.
Right, and I would say I'm hopeful, but this is really just a first step in that direction, and certainly the roles of both ensuring high quality and bringing down costs and putting in systems in place that will encourage care that isn't just high quality care and isn't just, you know, the fee for service model. Those things are part of this law, and we'll see how they play out. And I hope and expect that they would have an impact on the overall cost, and that's certainly what the Congressional Budget Office has estimated, that this will save money. Will it bring us down to, you know, other nations who get better quality for lower costs? We'll wait and see. I think this was not, in my view, you know, the ideal way to go. This was a compromise. This was just taking the insurance route. It wasn't a Medicare for all or other single payer type, or and didn't even offer the sort of public option, which would provide a Medicare like option for people to choose before they turn 65. And so I think we'll see. You know, I think there are improvements, obviously, that can be made that can strengthen both the quality and the cost issues. But this is a huge step forward. And the fact that states are going to begin to implement this program, people are going to start getting better insurance coverage than they already have, and those that don't have it are going to get it at a reasonable price. This is a very momentous day. Very, very good news.
Well, just in closing, you know, the U.S. is spending more than 16% of its GDP on health, and the other countries spend around 9%. So that tells the story.
Your point is absolutely correct.
Well, I thank you very much for joining us here today, Dr. Susan Wood.
Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with Dr. Susan Wood, who's a former FDA Assistant Commissioner for Women's Health. She's a professor of health policy and of environmental and occupational health and the executive director of the Jacobs Institute for Women's Health at George Washington University School of Public Health and Health Services.